Like to have you turn with me tonight and read the fifth chapter of the second book of Kings. I feel that there isn't anything I'm sure that I could add to the message that has been given. There may be someone here tonight that is seeking and seeking in the wrong way. I'd like to call your attention tonight to five or six ways in we can seek the blessing of God and be honest and earnest and yet be wrong. I want to read this very familiar story in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man that is master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Therefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Therefore hast thou rent thy clothes, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. And are the Dan and Phatha rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said that he wash and be clean? Then he went down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. This, I believe, is one of the most simple and yet most interesting stories in the Old Testament, illustrating for us God's way of salvation. Leprosy in the Bible is looked upon in most cases as a picture of sin in the Christian, but it's looked upon too as a picture of death. Because you notice when he came to the king of Israel, the king said to him, Am I God to kill and to make alive? He looked upon this man as one that was dead. There's a very interesting sideline in this picture, I may just say, for those of us who know the Lord. Here was a lady who had the opportunity to tell her husband of a remedy for his disease, and she neglected it. The little maid told the mistress that she knew of her remedy, and she never told her husband. Somebody else told him. I'd like to stop for just a moment and talk to those of us who are Christians. God has put in our hands a remedy for sin. And we have to use that remedy. We have to tell those around us. Let's not be neglectful with it and miss the opportunity or the privilege of speaking to a soul. But I want to speak particularly tonight to someone that may be here that's unsaved. And I want to call to your attention five or six things in this story that this man did wrong. First of all, he took the wrong place. He took $34,000 with him to pay for the cleansing of his leprosy. I know of lots of people in this world that are attempting to gain God's salvation by bringing the wrong price. Many years ago, I was asked one time to speak at a Sunday school teachers conference in Kent County in the city of Grand Rapids, Michigan. At this conference, there was approximately 240 Sunday school teachers. And they asked me when I spoke if I would speak on worship. And I used the verses in Peter. God who has called you that you might show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it was my privilege to preach to them that worship could not possibly be given to God until a soul had trusted in God and had received forgiveness of sins. Until the blood of Christ had cleansed them from their sins, they had no right in the presence of God to worship him. And the moment the service was over, I wasn't even off the platform. Two very stately gentlemen took me by the arm and took me in one of the side rooms of the church. And they said to me, "Mr. Van Ryan, don't you know that the bylaws of this church forbid to mention sin and the blood?" I said to him, "No, I didn't. But just for that, I'll never come back and preach here again." I thought I'd quit before they fired me because I knew they wouldn't want me back anyway. But think of it. They're trying to obtain God's favor. And they have written in the bylaws of their church that you cannot mention sin nor the blood of Christ. How could you ever get God's favor without the blood of the Lord Jesus? I was a druggist in the Netherlands. And whenever we got a prescription that had a large amount of poison in it, we put the label on the bottle with the skull and the crossbow. And it was printed in large letters, "Poison," that people might not take it and die. And my friend, God has written in this Bible from the beginning to the end that man is sunk in sin. And I don't care what people attempt or like to call it. God calls it sin. You can call it failure if you like. You can call it shortcomings if you like. You can call it mistakes if you like. But my Bible calls it sin. And I am right in the middle of sin. You write it on the blackboard and you'll find I, right in the center of the world. And so are you. This man made the mistake of attempting to buy his cleansing. Millions of people in the world attempt to buy their cleansing. You know, the reason you can't buy it is because you're too poor to buy it and God is too rich to sell it. He wants to give it to you. He'll never let you buy it. You can receive the Lord Jesus just as you are. And now I am not talking about the degree of sin. But I'm talking about the fact of sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It isn't a question of great sin or little sins as men call it. It's simply a question of the fact of sin. You may never have been a drunkard. I preached in a mission for a number of years, and a man that was the superintendent of the mission had the marks of the dope needle on his arms from his wrist to his shoulders. You couldn't put your finger anywhere without touching the marks of the needle. He went to an institution and received cures 4 times in succession. 6 months in an institution, he was came back cured. And 6 months later, he was back at the same thing. And one day he listened to a simple gospel message on the street corner. And God saved his soul. And the dope never touched him since. It works. It's the only remedy that God has. It's the only way that God invites men to come to him. But you can't buy it. There's no price set on it. You haven't got enough money to buy it. God alone could provide it. And he provided it in the person of the Lord Jesus. Then the next mistake he made, he went to the wrong person. He was told to go to the prophet as in Israel, and he went to the king. He was told to go to the man of God, and he went to the man of this world. He was told to go to the man that was in contact with God. Instead of that, he went to the powers of this world, verse 20. I stood at my little grandson's bedside 2 or 3 years ago, was very seriously ill, not expecting to live. And a young man, about 24, came in, dressed like a woman. And he talked to me, and I talked to him. The conversation didn't last very long. But finally, before he left, he says, "Well, I see you and I don't agree. I'll just pronounce my blessing upon the little boy and leave." And I looked at him. I says, "I have my Bible here. And you have your Bible here. Will you show me in this Bible anywhere that God has committed into the hands of men to pronounce a blessing upon another man? He's never given it to men." They called him Father, too. He was 24 years old. I heard somebody call him Father that was 45. I don't know how that happened. But that's what they call him anyway. God has never committed anything into the hands of anyone else but his people and his prophets. And you can go to the wrong person for salvation and never find it. Someone went to Dr. DeHaan one time in Michigan. Someone who had been exercised about his soul. And he stopped him after one of the services. He said to Dr. DeHaan, "I want to be saved tonight." And Dr. DeHaan looked at him. He said, "Well, don't tell me I can't save you. Tell God." And he did, and God saved him. Don't go to any human being for salvation, but go to the man that God has appointed for salvation. And that man is the Lord Jesus. God has only one man. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God has only one person that can forgive sins. For the simple reason that that one person paid for the sins. Nobody else paid for it. But him. And then the next thing he did, he went to the wrong place. He told him to go and see the prophet, and instead of that, he stood outside of the door. Like many of you may be doing here tonight, like our brother Cal just mentioned to you. You may be leaning against the door, but you're still on the outside. The Lord Jesus is on the inside, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest." I used to sing in a quartet. Don't ask me how it sounded, but I used to sing in a quartet. 4 brothers. And we used to sing that hymn quite a bit, just outside the door. Just outside the door, so near, and yet so far. You may be standing against the door of God's salvation and never take that step across the threshold. Wonder of wonders, the man of God came out to send out a message to this man. The man of God is inside tonight, and he is sending out a message to every soul that's standing outside of the door. And he is telling them to believe his word, as you heard tonight. Don't stay outside. Don't go to the wrong place. Come to the inside. Listen to the voice of God and obey it. Take the invitation and receive it. Come unto me, the Lord says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then the next thing about this man, he did wrong, he had the wrong passion. He got mad. I used to work for one of the finest men morally I've ever known in my life. And some 10 or 11 years ago, he called me into his office one day and he said, Henry, I have to give away my business. He didn't have to give it away, but he gave it to two of his brothers. Because I just got back from Mayo, and I have hardening of the arteries. He says, you know, I'm worried about my eternal destiny, and I know you well enough to know that you are absolutely sure you're going to heaven. Will you tell it to me? And I did. And the moment I started to tell him that as a guilty, helpless, hopeless, lost sinner, he had to trust his soul and his whole being into the person of Christ. That moment he got red in the face. And he says, if I have to come like a drunkard on the street, I'll never come. And my friend, there is many a person to whom the Spirit of God, or with whom the Spirit of God has been pleading, walking out from the presence of God, angry, mad, because they didn't like what they heard. And then the next thing he did wrong is he had the wrong prescription. He says, I thought. And oh, how many different thoughts people have as to salvation. One thinks all you need to do is the best you can. My friend, the best you can do in God's sight is filthy rags. Another thinks all you have to do is give tithes of all that you possess. God doesn't want your tithes. He wants you. Another thinks you live an honest life with your neighbors. In the end, everything will come out all right. God says that there is none, not one, that doeth good. No, not one. There is none righteous. No, not one. Don't have the wrong prescription. Don't think what you think is right, but believe what God says is right. I listened to a lady preaching one time. Not on purpose, but I couldn't get away without being rude. And she told us that night how she was converted. She was out in the country on a farm. And she was in a corner of the barn and she was praying to God for the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden she saw it coming from heaven like a great big ball of fire. And it came right through the barn roof and went right through her heart. And from that day on she knew she was filled with the Holy Ghost. She had more nerve than I did. If I see a great big ball of fire, I think I'd jump aside. It isn't what people think that counts. It's what God says. It isn't what you think tonight that counts. It's what God says. Men have all kinds of remedies. God has only one. Men have all kinds of prescriptions. all kinds of ways and means of obtaining God's favor, but God is only one way, only one remedy, only one means, and that's the blood of Christ. God took a life that he might give life. The whole human system is built on that principle. You couldn't live another day if it wasn't for the fact that someone else or something else died. Every bite of vegetables you eat is because the plant died. Every piece of meat you eat is because an animal died. Every home you live in is because trees died. It's the principle of life. And the principle of natural life is exactly the same in spiritual life. You can only receive life because someone died. And that death provides life for the believer in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, I told you what he did wrong. I'd like to tell you what I think he did right. I hope none of you here tonight do any of these wrong things. Don't try to buy your way into heaven. Don't take the wrong price. It isn't possible. And for God's sake, don't go to the wrong person. Don't go to the wrong place. Don't have the wrong passion. And don't attempt to get there with the wrong prescription. Now, he did some things that were right. First of all, he heard of a remedy. And he sought it. He traveled a long distance. He had tried everything else, and everything else had failed. Don't ask me how the little girl knew that he had leprosy. I don't know. But I do know this one thing. It was not visible usually. He came riding back from the wars on his white charger with his uniform on and all the medals on his uniform. And nobody knew he was a leper. Maybe the little girl took him his breakfast one morning in bed and happened to see it. But God knew it. You may be sitting in this room tonight, and everybody around you might think you're a Christian. But if you're not, don't forget God knows it. About 6 or 7 years ago, I preached in Denver one night at the conference. And after the meeting, a lady came up to me. I believe at that time she was 70-some-odd years old. And with the tears streaming down her face, she told me she'd been sitting at the Lord's table for 30 years. And she was converted that night. You can go out this door tonight and somebody may ask you, are you a Christian? And you can say yes. But forget this, not this one thing, that someday, somewhere, God is going to ask you that question. And you're not going to say yes to him if it isn't so. Jacob stood next to his forefather with his skin on his hands and on his neck. And his father fell off him. He says, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau. And he got away with it. But 20 years later, on his way home, God stopped him. And God said to him, who are you? And he didn't tell God he was Esau. Because he couldn't get away with it. This man heard of a remedy and he traveled to find it. He was anxious to be cleansed of his leprosy. Because he knew that eventually it would mean death. And my dear unsaved friend tonight, if your sins are not forgiven, eventually, it'll mean death. It'll mean eternal separation from God. You heard of a remedy tonight. Are you in earnest enough to seek it? This man was. And the next one he heard of it, he didn't like it. But he tried it anyway. You may not like to remedy evil, but let me ask you tonight, and I say it reverently, try it anyway. Give your heart to Christ and see if it works. I was in a service in Greenville, Michigan one time. And after the gospel meeting, a young man, he's out serving the Lord now. The brother that was preaching preached on the brazen serpent. And he mentioned over and over again during his preaching that one look at that serpent produced life. He says, as they looked at it, they found it worked. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of his preaching, this young boy jumped up in the middle of the audience. He says, I looked at Christ right now, and it works. He's out serving the Lord today. He didn't like the remedy, but he tried it anyhow. Let me plead with you tonight and ask you to give God a chance in your life, if you're not a Christian. Now you may say to me, there is no such thing. Well, excuse the language I'm using. Give God a chance to prove that he means what he says. He didn't like it, but he tried it. And then when he tried it, wonder of wonders, he proved it worked. Can't you just see this, Naaman? To please his servants, maybe, he went down to that dirty river and started dipping. Once, and twice, and thrice, and four times, and five times, and six times, and nothing happened. But when he came up the seventh time, I said his flesh came again to him like the flesh of a little child. You know, I see ads along the highway, and it says on the ad, use palm olive soap to keep that schoolgirl complexion. I've used palm olive soap all my life. But I want to tell you something as a spiritual being tonight. You use the remedy that God has for salvation, and spiritually, you'll eternally be like a little child. You'll be in all the vigor of a child, in all the freshness of a child, in all the simplicity of a child, in all the beauty of a child. If you take God's remedy, and God's remedy is Christ. And then last but not least, and he found out his work. He showed it by being thankful. How many of us tonight have shown God that we know his remedy works by being thankful? If you're here tonight unsaved and you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, tell him so. I spoke to a young man a number of years ago in our assembly in Michigan, and I said to him, Ed, you've been in our assembly now for some 20-odd years. I've never heard you get up in a morning meeting and thank God for saving your soul. I've never heard you get up in a prayer meeting and thank God for saving your soul. I've never heard you give out a hymn. I've never heard you read a verse of the Bible. And he became quite angry, and he says, well, we're not all preachers. I didn't ask him to preach. And after the service, he was standing in back of our chapel, and there were seven young men gathered around him. And he was telling them all about every automatic transmission on every automobile under the sun. He knew the Dynaflow, the Ford-O-Matic, the Power Glide, and every other automatic transmission. You know, the trouble with him was he didn't have a heart inside of him, he had a garage inside of him. If you prove that works, show it by being thankful to God. If you're here tonight unsaved and you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, tell it to somebody else. And I want to warn you before I close. This may be the last time you'll hear God speaking to you. I mentioned this noon a nephew of mine who went to college for almost 16 years. He had a half a dozen initials behind his name. He went to college till he was 34 years old. He made a profession of being saved as a boy of 10. He never showed it. Never in high school. Never in college. In fact, became rather laughable about the things of God. He taught as a professor in one of the colleges in Michigan. He came home for Easter Sunday. He went back on Monday and he was supposed to be teaching school on Tuesday. He was single. 37 years old. He didn't come to teach on Tuesday. He didn't come to teach on Wednesday. So some of his colleagues went to his apartment and broke in the door and found Alma laying on the davenport, gone into eternity. 37 years old. I've seen him sit in gospel meeting after gospel meeting after gospel meeting, reading a book. Whether he heard what was said or not, I don't know, but I know that God pled with him night after night after night. And in a moment of time, he was taken out of this life into eternity. I worked in a house trailer shop for a number of years. There was a man that came in there that sold us our refrigeration unit. And one day he came up to my bench where I was working. He said, "Henry, I'd like to talk to you. I noticed this little sign above your bench that said on the sign, 'Please don't use my Lord's name in vain.' He says, 'I'd like to talk to you. What do you really believe?' And I sat down with him. And I talked with him until 5 o'clock that afternoon. And when he left, he said to me, 'Well, I sure appreciate your sincerity. But if I had to make my choice today, I'd prefer to go to hell.'" And Earl went back to his shop. He lived in a room in back of the shop. His family lived about 40 miles away, and he only went home weekends. And apparently, about 11 o'clock at night, he didn't feel too well, and he got in his car. And he drove downtown. He think he drove to get to a hospital. He pulled up along the side of the road of the main street of the city. And as the police opened the door, Earl was slumped over a steering wheel. Gone into eternity. I wonder if God took him up on what he said. I trust he didn't, but I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering as I look at you tonight. There's some here that are unsaved. I'm wondering if you're going to leave this door and say by action, if not by word, "I don't want them tonight." You know, there's a verse in the 25th chapter of Matthew that led me to confess my sins before God. I think it's one of the most serious verses in the Bible. You know the story, the bridegroom came. And those that had their lights and were wise, they went in with him. And those that were foolish came too late, and he stood outside of the door, and they knocked. And this is what they said. They said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." They knew him, but he didn't know them. Because he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Anyone that's sitting in this room tonight knows that the Lord Jesus is God's only way of salvation. And if you leave this door tonight unsaved, you might be standing outside of heaven's door knocking. And you'll hear him saying to you, "Depart from me. I never knew." Please. Please, I plead with you tonight. If you're without Christ, if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not standing on that solid rock, please, don't leave this room until you've settled. Don't go out into the darkness that might be eternal darkness. It was one sitting in the presence of the Lord, who had walked with him for 3.5 years, who had been the treasurer of the company to which he belonged. And one night he was sitting with the Lord around the table. And the Lord says, "He who shall dip with me, he is the one." And the Spirit of God has penned these terrible words for us. And Judas went out, and it was night. He went out into an eternal night, a night without mourning, a night without change, a night without light. I plead with you tonight, with all the love that's in my soul, don't leave it unsettled. Don't go out of the door unsaved. Give your heart to Christ. Come to Him. Let Him cleanse you from your sins. And like this man, you'll go on your way home rejoicing in Him. God grant us for His name's sake. I'm not going to stop you tonight as you go out. But I want to say before I close with prayer that not only me, but many others here at your service, if you're not sure you're a Christian, if you're not positive you're on your way to heaven, be man or woman enough and wait for us. Come and see us. Talk to us. Let's open the Bible to you and show you from God's Word how simple it really is. Take one of the front seats if you like. But be in earnest. Because God is in earnest. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the story of the Lord Jesus and His grace and love for us. We thank Thee, our Father, that He came for the express purpose to give His life a ransom for many. And oh, our God, we've been listening at this conference and looking forward to the day when He shall come again and we shall be in His presence. And we plead with Thee tonight, as we've been pleading with men, that not a soul that's in this room might be missing them. Speak to hearts that are without Christ. Speak to those that are wavering and uncertain. Point them to the certainty of Thy precious Word. Give them to see, as we've heard over and over again, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We commit Thy Word into Thy care. We commit every soul in this room into Thy grace. We ask Thee, O God, to speak to our hearts. May this meeting break up not in hilarity, but may it be solemnity. May we not be speaking to one another about everyday things. May our conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Dismiss us now with that blessing. We thank Thee again for these 2 days we've been able to be together. We bless Thee for them. We realize that all that was good in them came from Thyself. We pray that our Father might knit us closer together, and that it might make us more interested in serving Thee. We ask Thee now to dismiss us with Thy blessing as we give Thee thanks in the precious, fearless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.